welcome to the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, master TTAP trainer, and mother of two. I'm joined by my co-host, Victoria Wilkes, a fellow intuitive eater, passionate TTAPper, and mother of two. Each week, we want to empower you with new information about the way our bodies and minds work together to bring us into balance when we are well-nourished and well-fed. Victoria and I are not only good friends, but we are also lucky enough to be sisters-in-law. So join us as we discuss topics such as body image, intuitive eating, women's health, pregnancy and postpartum nutrition, the science behind nutrition and exercise, and so much more. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, here with my sister-in-law, Victoria Wilkes. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just sitting here knitting with some super squishy, lovely yarn. And
oh, nice.
Fun stuff, so I'm good.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. One day I will have you teach me to do more knitting stuff again. Cause I used to, you know, and my mother-in-law does crocheting. So
knitting.
Yeah, I need to. We can geek out on that. I know. I'm like scared to add it to what I'm doing because I know I will just be like, oh, only do this. That's all I'm going to do. So, okay. So let's start our episode with our normal segment. And I'll start with you. What have you been eating recently that's been good?
Watermelon.
Oh, yes.
Watermelon.
Yes. Summer.
It's just every single week I get one and I chop it up and I put it in the fridge. And it's just so good. And I eat on it a little bit all day long. It's just
I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I only have two. Yeah. Both of my kids, I always say all mine. My husband's like, wait, so where are the other ones? You know? Yes, they enjoy it too. Especially my son. He's almost one and he gets really excited about it when he sees.
My little guy does great with, he's about to be 9 months old and he does awesome with chopped up, frozen like strawberries, cherries, blueberries, and he'll just chew them up with his two little teeth and
no
problems. But I guess because watermelon is really crisp, maybe he chokes on it, and it's like I don't think of it as being any harder to chew up than a strawberry piece. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you wouldn't think.
I'm so confused, but he just so like choking on it. So I keep trying to give it to him, and he crammed so many pieces in his mouth that he chokes. I'm just like, okay, we'll wait on the water.
Oh man. That's funny though.
What about you?
Yeah. I have been making sourdough bread recently, and everybody else in the whole, I guess the whole, when everything shut down, everybody started making sourdough cause there was nothing else to do. And I'm really late on that train, but I got my starter started a couple weeks ago and I made my first loaf last week and it was so good. Oh my word. So and good.
I ate some of it. It was amazing.
It's really good. And I'm excited because I just got some more flour because the first time I used einkorn flour and then I found some sprouted whole wheat flour, which I just want to try and see because a lot of people who typically have trouble with gluten can do sourdough because of the fermentation process. And the fermentation eats up some of the gluten and breaks down into an easier to digest form. So sometimes people who even have issues can still eat it, but it's very good. My husband ate like 6 slices when he came home. I kid you not. I had it there sitting on the counter and he kept eating one and kept eating another one. But in true fashion, in true intuitive fashion, I put it in the freezer, you know, the rest of the loaf, and he didn't have any for a couple days, and then he ate a slice, you know, on his way to work. And then it's just funny. You just like, oh, it's novelty. You just, ooh, novelty, eating it. And then you're kind of like, eh, yeah, I know it's there.
The same thing, and for anybody who listened to our toddler eating episode, this would be interesting. Same thing with watermelon. My daughter, the first watermelon that we bought a few weeks ago, because I wanted to wait until it was like prime watermelon season. We bought it, chopped it up, and my little 3-year-old ate probably a quarter of a watermelon by herself in one bite. She and I was so tempted to be like, honey, you've had too much. It's going to hurt your stomach. You can't have any more. But yeah. I was like, no, I'm going to let it self-regulate. Unless it's something harmful.
Right.
Which it's not. Let your kid experiment, you know? And so I let her have as much as she wanted. She did that for 2 days. And on the third day, she was like, mommy, I do not like watermelon. And I was like, oh, you don't want any? She's like, no, I don't want any watermelon. Now she'll have maybe like a piece, maybe 2 pieces, and then she's good.
Yeah.
It's very interesting how it is intuitive, whether it's sourdough or watermelon or cookies or whatever. It's like if it's unlimited and there's no pressure on it, then you're like, eh, I'm good.
Right. You just kind of like, it's not a novelty anymore. So yeah, that's so interesting though. And it really, I keep seeing that with kids, with adults that are normal eaters that aren't, you know, in any particular restraint, you know, on either side. They just kind of eat and move on. Okay, so let's get into today's topic, which is very interesting because we were talking about this recently and we just wanted to have a conversation about this because basically the unofficial title of this is Help, Is It Bad If I Have the Desire to Lose Weight? Because yeah. I'm sure some of you are listening to this podcast and you've maybe formed your opinion on what we might think about someone who says, I want to lose weight. And we just want to have a conversation about this because, you know, our bodies change a lot as women. They change when you have a baby and then they change after you have a baby and then they change when you go into menopause and then they might, you know, change for other reasons and, you know, whether you have an illness or something like that. And, you know, it's just, what do you do? Like, how do you handle the changes and, what to do? Like, what if you're like, okay, I gained however much weight, you know, in menopause and it was almost overnight and I'm having these other symptoms I'm not sure about. Is this my thyroid? What do I do? Is it bad that I want, that I have that desire and, or want my body to be like it was before whatever change happened? So we're just going to discuss it because it's just something to discuss about this.
Because I don't have answers for a lot of it. Like I have thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I have thoughts
coming to me, but I don't have answers for it because I think that's kind of the point is there's not really a set answer. Cause I think that in the traditional diet culture, as in, you know, the greater part of the Western world right now, if you have any weight gain, it's black and white. It's bad. Weight gain, bad. Weight loss.
Yep.
And then in the intuitive eating anti-diet world, which is where you and I largely kind of hang out in that sphere, it's like any intentional weight loss is bad.
And patently bad. Yes, exactly.
Patently bad. Like any intentions at weight loss is bad and it will not work and you're going to regain the weight. So I've just been thinking a lot lately because of course, like there are studies after studies after studies after studies after studies showing that diets and you know, don't be fooled by something like, I don't know, I'm going to call out Whole30 or paleo or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Those still can be diets as in like, sure, maybe you're not on an extreme broccoli and water diet, but it's still a diet. It's reducing and changing your food in a kind of crazy way to lose weight.
Manipulate your body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To manipulate your body. Yeah. What is it? A 98% failure rate?
Yes.
For diets where you're going to regain the weight or even more than you lost originally.
Yep.
So obviously dieting doesn't work, but what if you, and I'm going to use myself as an example. So I'm almost 9 months postpartum, second baby, first baby, 6 months postpartum. I was back to my pre-baby weight and my weight just kept dropping naturally on its own. I ate plenty. I was really getting into the whole healing from food disorders and tons and like resting really well, only getting up once a night, like fairly low stress life and like abundance of food. And my weight just dropped to a quite a low point. And then it went back up to my, what's normally my normal, my kind of set weight point.
Yeah.
This postpartum, it has not. It has, my weight has dropped down to kind of my highest on my 20 pound range of my set weight point.
Mm-hmm.
It is a normal for me weight, as far as I was this weight at some point before I had my second baby Jack. But I remember, but it's definitely on the higher end. Like I can't, like I tried fitting some of my shorts from the summer before I had my baby, and I can fit into them, but it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it's, everything is tight everywhere, and I'm like, okay, so I'm still a size bigger than I was before my son, but I'm eating like I always do. I'm exercising like I always do, and you're kind of, you're wondering, what am I doing wrong? That's my first thought. It's like, what am I doing wrong? Why is my weight not coming down? Mm-hmm. And there's so many factors, but I know so many women who feel like this, that
yes,
they're either after their first baby, their second baby, their third baby, and everything was fine and was flowing along swimmingly. And then all of a sudden something changed and you don't know what. And you're like, well, this sucks. I can't wear half of my clothes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And see, yeah, I know that you're not the only one who thinks that. And see, for me, so first time, my experience with this as well, my first time after I had my first daughter or my first child, I also dropped the weight pretty quickly. Like the weight that I gained with her, I gained less with her than I did with my son. But anyway, I dropped that fairly quickly, probably around 6 months as well. I would say 6 to 7 months is when I had, you know, lost all that. Now this time it definitely was longer for me. It's for me to get back to, and I haven't, in all honesty, I have not weighed myself. It's been a very long time since I weighed myself. but based on my clothes, I would say I'm back to what I was before I got pregnant with Ethan,
right,
which was at 10 months postpartum with my daughter. They're close right in age. They're 18 months apart. So that for me is, but it took longer this time. I want to say it's only been in the last month or two, and he's almost a year old, and it's only been in the last month or two, but you know what? It's so interesting. It has not bothered me. It has not bothered me, which is weird. Mm-hmm. Like it, maybe, I don't know, maybe just the mindset that I had been working on, really started to, come into fruition. Cause with my daughter, I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh, this has got to go away. I look horrible. And I was actively, right, you know, oh, I got to work out, make sure I lose this baby weight, you know? And I don't know, it didn't bother me as much. Now there were certainly times where I would look in the mirror and go, wow, I can't wear this. And I even tried on a pair of shorts, and I had him in July, and I tried on a pair of shorts in September or October, that just for fun. I was like, I'm going to try these shorts on, and they did not fit. They didn't even button. They did not even button. And I was like, okay. And that was the moment where I was like, well, all right then. And I thought to myself, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? Would I cut my calories? No, I'm breastfeeding. Well, what things could I do that would just help my body in general, and not thinking about the, like, not like, is my motivation to button that darn button on those pants, to just generally support my body as I'm trying to manage two kids and run a household and run a small business on the side and do this and do that. You know, why do we tend to fixate on that? And so what, I put those shorts away, and I really was like, if I don't wear those shorts ever again, it's okay. It's no big deal. I can buy more shorts. It's not a big deal. So I just stopped thinking about it. And I did, you know, it was maybe, let's see, that was, yeah, it was probably like 6 or 7 months later, trying them back on. And I'm like, oh, they actually do fit. They're still a little bit tight, but they do fit, and I can wear them now. Right. But it was not a conscious, I don't know. It's just weird, because the whole, of course, the whole absurdity with postpartum is that it's like, you're supposed to now pretend like you never even had a baby and you're supposed to erase all the evidence that you even had a baby. It's just absurd. So postpartum is a whole nother ball game. Because
don't listen to our episode on that if you're struggling specifically postpartum.
If you go back in our feed, there's a postpartum episode for that as well. And, you know, sometimes, it's just, it can be a mind, a really just tricky thing with your mind. But for whatever reason, this time it was easier to not be like, oh, you know, I look terrible all the time. Like, I felt like that in my past. I felt like that in my past when I was much smaller than I am now.
Right.
It's just so like, it just shows you, it is so much of a mindset.
It is. And that was kind of my thought of anybody, and kind of preaching to myself, of anybody who is like, okay, because I'm about 10 pounds more than my normal set weight, kind of where my body typically, where all my clothes fit well and all that, about 10 pounds more. Mm-hmm. It's the classic, oh, I want to lose those last 10 pounds, you know?
Right.
But it's true. Whenever you are 10 pounds more than your quote unquote normal, it's very tempting to want to do something like, oh, I want to do something. And I don't think that it's wrong, because I've felt guilty before as being a big proponent of anti-diet and intuitive eating. I felt guilty for like putting on those shorts yesterday. And I was just like, can it hurry up already? Like, can I get back to my normal weight so I can wear all my clothes? Because this is really annoying. I feel guilty for thinking that. Like, if I was really, you know, top of the line intuitive eater, I would never have those thoughts. But I do have those thoughts. And I think it's part of just being a woman in our culture.
Yes, I totally agree. Because I have those thoughts, and I'm that your favorite movie star has those thoughts too. I'm just saying, like, there's girls out there who you would look at them and you're like, oh, you're objectively perfect according to the standards, and then they're sitting there like, oh, I'm so fat or whatever. You know how it is. The people with straight hair want curly hair. The people with curly hair want straight hair. The girls that, you know, have really quote unquote great legs, you know, want the girls that have the great glutes. And it's like, it's just it's just kind of a comparing is never a good idea. And it is, and that's why I think that it can just be difficult to talk about, because then it makes people compare, because then it automatically you're like, oh, well, she was able to, you know, lose the whatever baby weight after, you know, X amount of time, and she was able to lose it after this amount of time, you know. So it just, it's the comparison game is never, and you know, the thing that I wanted to say too is that if your goal is to lose weight, just lose weight, well, guess what? You could cut down your calories, and then what's going to happen is a horrible cascade of events that's going to lead to ultimately you with a slower metabolism, issues with your, you know, just food cravings and feeling deprived and having to work on that. It's going to set you way, way back when you're, you know, going from that, let's just cut calories. Because if your goal is to lose weight, you can lose muscle mass, which will also lower your metabolism, which happens when you cut your calories and still keep exercising. And if you could lose weight by, you know, smoking or doing drugs, like really, that I want to see someone spoof some of these little, these little weight lossy, you know, oh my gosh, I signed up for this program and it's just so awesome. And I lost 30 pounds in like the last 2 weeks. And oh my gosh, that's great. I would love to see someone troll that and go, I lost 20 pounds in the last week smoking only and not eating. Look at me. Aren't I so healthy? It's just, I've had it with, I see that so much. I'm literally pounding my chair right now. I don't know if you can hear that, but I have, it's so silly. It's because, like you said at the beginning of this, people in that framework equate weight loss good, weight gain bad. Any like, that's just the whole diet culture is that. It is literally any weight gain is just like bad news. And the truth is, you'll fluctuate even if you have, like we said, you know, if you have a point that your weight likes to be at. The weight that I probably am at right now, and I say probably because I just know what my clothes are fitting like, I would probably be above or below it by 5 pounds given, like just depending on like hormones or exercise or muscle mass. It can change in that range. And it's not a big, like, it's not a big deal. It's not like, I mean, I've had people who come to me and they're like, you know, on their client goals, they say, lose the last 3 pounds. And I'm like, honey, 3 pounds is I got, you know, or I'm dehydrated and then I drink water the next day and it's what, like that's, it's 3 pounds is just, I don't, it just the whole obsession. And it's just, you know, and calories in, calories out, your body does not, your body doesn't get that. Your body doesn't understand math like your little beach body coach says that it does. That's, your body does not get that. It's not about that. And it's much more about supporting your body, its systems. For example, your thyroid or your adrenals or your digestion or all of these things, heavy metals, parasites, any, all of these things can influence your quote unquote weight. You know, it can influence that. And it's not, it's just not, the emphasis on calories in, calories out is so arbitrary because when you, I'll go ahead and quickly explain this. When you cut down, I'm sure I've given this speech before, but I'm going to say it again. When you cut down your calories, so let's say you can live on 1600 calories a day. It works for a while. And by working, I mean you lose weight for a while. And mm-hmm. it might work for 6 months and it might work for a year and it might work for 2 months, but you're going to hit a plateau. It's a matter of time. I have seen this over and over and over. You hit the plateau and your body says, excuse me, we've been living on not enough food for a very long time and we're putting up a fight. So then that's when you start, quote unquote, plateauing, or you even start gaining weight and you're not doing anything different. Okay. So you've cut your calories back. Your body has reached its breaking point and is like, okay, we're done with this. So what usually happens at that point is your body will typically have trouble with one of these three areas, thyroid, adrenal, or what was the other one I was going to say? Digestion. Well, digestion and metabolism, assimilation of food, basically. You're going to have trouble with one of those three areas. And it's just a matter of time. It is a matter of time because your body is going to start to complain. And now some people's bodies will take a little bit to complain and they may complain in a mild way. And other people will just, their bodies are going to completely shut down the presses. Their bodies are just like, you know what? We're pulling the lights on your hormones and we're pulling the switch over here on your digestion and we're pulling the switch over here in your metabolism. Cause honey, if you eat anything, we're storing it as fat because you've put us in a stress situation. So basically when you pull those calories, it puts your body in a deficit. It works for a while, quote unquote, works for a while. Then this is what people do is they get to that point and they're like, no, by golly, I'm still going to lose weight. So then they quote unquote diet harder. So they go even lower and eat even less fat and take even more shakes and work out even more. And that just digs you in the hole further and further,
right?
Further freaking out your body and making it very, very angry at you. And it will just keep rebelling against you. And, you know, for example, if you go through all of that and then you start eating quote unquote normally again, you will gain weight, but that is weight that your body needs to feel safe.
Right.
When I was coming out of being extremely disordered, I gained 60 plus pounds, probably I'm thinking now I weighed myself a lot back then. I'm pretty sure it was closer to 70 pounds. Okay. I gained a lot. Now this is an extreme situation for me because I was, you know, very, very low weight, but 70 pounds was what my body needed to feel safe. And then gradually over like the 2 years that I was maybe that weight, my set point changed and it went to where I am right now. And it's pretty much stayed there, like I said, plus or minus 5 pounds. And depending on babies, you know, gaining baby, and having a baby and all that. But it's just interesting because that's what my body needed to feel safe. Now, that isn't to say that if you do one of these, you know, crash diet type of things that you're also going to gain 70 pounds. I'm just saying that your body interprets stress differently. And for my body, that's what it needed to feel safe, was it needed to put that on. And then it needed to have that in order to make it feel, okay, we're not under any deficits. It's safe to have a period. It's safe to have a metabolism because we know we're going to get more food. It's not a problem. So it basically, when you're cutting your calories like that, it's just a lose-lose situation because you not only make yourself cranky and miserable and then thinking about food all the time because you're deprived, but you also are messing your metabolism up. It's going to take a while to build it back. It took a while to build mine back. I was at the stage where I felt like everything I ate, I gained weight with it, but I just kept on with it and was patient. And just it yeah, it worked out in the end to where my body decided, okay, we're okay now. We're safe.
Safe,
so
right.
We're going to hang out here. Now, here's something else I want to say. If your body shape, size, whatever, if you're having to diet, cut your calories, exercise obsessively to maintain it, and that's not your body's point of comfort. It's kind of a little tough to think about, but if you're having to do any of these extreme behaviors to maintain that size, then it's not your body's, some people say, oh, well, this is my body's set point. And then I'm like, well, what's your routine like? Well, I exercise 6 days a week for 2 hours. And then I do an hour of cardio in the evening and I make sure I don't have any carbs after 7 PM. And then I always make sure, they have all of these list of things. And I think that there's a fear of letting go. Of course, there's the fear of loss of control. Like, what's my body going to do if I actually just stop trying to control it? So that's really long, but anyway, yeah.
No, it's true. It can be very scary, and it can be very scary even for somebody like me who I understand like the science and stuff behind it. I understand the set weight theory. I understand all that, but it's really hard to let go of control of stuff or to not re-seize control. Because I lived 20 something years or, at least, I don't know, 15 to 20 years of very rigid behaviors with my food and exercise and all this stuff. And it's hard whenever you have that mindset around food and your body, and you've worked really hard and you've recovered from that. Whenever you've got extra weight that you don't particularly want or like, it's really hard not to go back to that, because you're like, oh, I know that if I slip back into those old behaviors, this would be gone like that,
Yes.
And you know how miserable you were in those behaviors. You know how bad it was for your sleep and for your hormones and for your mental state, but it's very interesting. And so I totally understand whenever we get to a point where we're 10, 15, 20 pounds, 5 pounds, whatever, more than we would like, or our clothes aren't fitting the way we want or whatever. And it's so tempting to want to just be like, if I just cut out this, or if I just ramped up my exercise a little bit more. So I think some things that I have found helpful for me, and maybe this will help somebody else, but during this time where my body's just very, very reluctant to let go of any of this weight. And it is letting go of it, but very, very slowly, 2 or 3 times slower rate than last postpartum. One thing that's helping me is to remember to stop comparing, because my body now is not what my body was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Different baby, different hormones, different life circumstances, all kinds of things. I've got one right now. I gained, not quite twice as much, with my son, and, I've got an extremely, my husband's working late every night. I'm very stressed every day, like all kinds of things that I wasn't dealing with last time. So don't compare yourself even to yourself.
Yes.
Well, I was this weight last year. Why am I 5 pounds more? Why am I 15 pounds more? I'm doing the same things I was doing last year. I must be doing something wrong.
Yes.
I'm trying to kind of let go of the comparison. I'm not on social media, so I thank the Lord I don't have to deal with all of the bikini pics and the before and after photos that used to mess me up, comparing me to myself, or like, hey, these shorts used to fit and they don't fit now. And just trying to kind of let go of that, because you're not who you were a couple years ago. Yeah. And then another thing that's really been helping me is remembering that weight loss does not equal happiness. And I know this. We all know this. It's so tempting.
Yep. I know. Oh, yeah.
It's hard because I can remember being 20 pounds less than I am right now, worrying about the way that I looked.
Mm-hmm.
And, or even being, whenever I was a teenager, 40 pounds less than I am right now. Like, and I forget I forget that some people have problem with pounds. I try not to use pounds, and I keep using
I do too. I thought about that after I said it. I was like, oops, well,
I'm sorry. If anybody has trouble with that, I don't think about it that much, because it's part of me, like, working through being fine with bodies and stuff is being fine talking about weight, but
numbers,
for everybody. So I'm sorry if that's hurtful to anybody. I'm trying to move out of that habit of talking about specific pound numbers, because that bothers some people. But all that is to say, weight loss does not equal happiness. And we all know this. We all can point to a time where we were significantly less than we weigh right now, and we were still worrying about the way we looked in our pictures or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I looked so ugly in that picture. I looked so fat, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be thankful where you are right now, and to remember that it is possible to be happy where you are right now, because the diet companies want you to think that you can only be happy if you're at a lower weight through buying.
Yes.
And the people, the ladies who are writing the blog posts with the low calorie recipes, hey, eat this and then you'll be happy because then you'll lose weight. Everybody's trying to sell you and press onto you even more than the pressure you already have just as being a woman in our culture. Everybody's actively trying to tell you cannot be happy until this weight is gone, till you're back in those shorts or whatever. And I have to remind myself, like, tonight, sitting down, I've got this nice little roll.
Oh, I was just, okay, y'all are going to laugh. Okay, yeah. As of right now, I'm sitting here and I have on my tank top and I have it pulled up because I'm doing my red light therapy right now. Uh-huh. I kid you not. A second ago, I was looking down at my belly and I was like, look at this little fat roll right here on the front of my belly. It's just funny because I'm sitting right here right now and I can see it. And I'm like, I'm like, you know what? That's my body. And I'm not gonna, your body looks different when you sit down. And then it looks different when you stand up. Like it looks different in different positions and different, you know, what you're doing or standing up or sitting down or laying down, whatever, you know, like your thighs, when you sit down, your thighs go squish. Everybody's thighs do that. It's a thing, you know? And we've been taught that it's like something we need to be self-conscious about, which is just stupid. But yeah.
It's kind of impossible not at some point not to have the thought cross your mind, man, I wish I could lose this weight. But obviously, like we've talked about, just cutting calories is not a great idea. So what other ways do people have besides just accepting it? For me, at this point in my life, I have accepted. I'm like, I am not going to do a darn thing to try to change my body right now because of the Lyme disease that I'm still taking medicine for. Tonight, I'm still nursing. I'm still only 9 months postpartum. High stress right now.
Yes.
All this stuff. Until if I was in a vacation resort, that's another thing to think about. Is if you really want to lose weight and you're thinking, okay, what if I really want to lose weight? I would really think about what stage of life you're in.
Yeah.
And what relationship with food you have. I am only 3.5 years out from disordered eating. Like I still very much consider myself recovering, like very much, so much better than I was, like 90 recovered, but I would not touch any restriction with a 10-foot pole right now. Cause that would just send me right back.
Yes. And I think that, you know, regardless of what stage you are and how long it's, you know, we're all still, I don't think you'll ever reach that. Like, cause there, you can have perfection, like perfectionism in like the, oh, one day I will arrive and I will be perfectly intuitive and not bothered by anything ever, ever. But the fact is there's always going to be, you know, triggers or people are going to say something to you or, you know, like something interesting being in the fitness industry is interesting because it's so darn aesthetics focused. Like it's just absurd. And it's kind of funny because I want to say this sometime on my Instagram. I want to be like, hey guys, people see me in videos and stuff. And I want to be just remind them. So you see me right here. I am at least four sizes 3 or 4 sizes, clothing sizes, bigger than your average little fitness person-y thing.
Right.
And it's just a reminder of how, I don't know, it's just the whole fitness industry is just, it's very problematic because it's so focused on what you look like. And it's just, I'm sure that there are people that look at me and go, she's a fitness trainer. And I've had to learn to let that go. I've been like, right. I have to, in my mind, be like, I am the every woman. I am here and I'm doing this. And I really don't care what you think about my body because, you know, like I can't let that be in my brain. Like, someone's going to see my arms aren't really toned there or whatever stupid, you know, that's just kind of a side thing about that. But yeah, but you know, so speaking of, like, for example, let's say that you find out that you have thyroid problems. And the symptoms of your thyroid problems are you gain weight. That's one of the things with thyroid. You gain maybe 30 pounds in a month and all of a sudden your clothes really don't fit, but you're having all these other symptoms. You're having your hair is falling out. You don't have energy. You're constipated. You're cold all the time. All of the thyroid things, you know, so someone in that situation, their initial reaction might be, I need to lose weight ASAP.
Right.
Really, what needs to happen is you need to support your thyroid ASAP. Not because thyroid supporting equals weight loss, because thyroid supporting equals everything else in your body. Like your hair is falling out, you're cold, you're having constipation, you know, have dry skin, whatever. All of those other things, it's a mindset. Would you like to have an impact on your body's health, like your general health, so that you will feel better and you will not have all of these symptoms? Or is it really just about the weight? Because like we said in the beginning of this, you could go on, you know, be like, I just took up cigarettes instead of eating and now I lost my weight. That's, if it's just about the weight for you, that's a way to do it, but it's not healthy. Do you see?
Right.
So I think that, supporting your body is always a good idea. Like not just for the sake of, oh my gosh, I want to, you know, get back to that place, which you may or may not. That's the thing too, is that you may or may not.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees that you will get back there.
Yes. Even with dieting and you have ultimately, you do not have complete control over what your body does. And that's part of what I've had to accept is, what if I looked this way for the rest of my life? Like, would I be able to be peaceful and content and happy? And I want to be able to be peaceful and content and happy at this size or at 5 sizes higher than I am right now or at 3 sizes lower, whatever.
Yeah.
To not make the weight loss the end all be all, because a lot of times, let's be honest, exactly what you said, it's all about the looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, is this extra weight, this baby weight that I have right now, is it affecting anything other than visual? No. It is not affecting me whatsoever, except for like mentally. And so just be honest with yourself. If you're in a really, you know, if you're recovering from disordered eating or you're early postpartum or you're nursing or you're going to be hoping to get pregnant soon, none of those are good times to really try to make major changes for the sake of weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just for the look, then you might be actually compromising your health by trying to do something to lose weight. And like you said, like sometimes weight gain, sudden weight gain or stubborn, your body refuses to let go of a pound. Sometimes it is a sign of something going on.
Yes.
We're not saying that, any weight that your body chooses to be at is automatically healthy for you. Like, your body, what if you gain, you know, you got a disease or something and you gained 30 pounds, like you said, in a month? It's a sign that something else is going on. It's nothing to feel guilty about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a moral failing.
Yep.
It's not, you're not ugly. You're not get rid of all of the lies and just see it for what it is. It's a piece of a puzzle that your body is putting together to show you something's going on with my thyroid or my sleep or my whatever.
Yeah, or your adrenals or anything like that. It's just your body is giving you a little sign, and that's one of the things that it can do to, you know, is making that as give you a sign to tell you something's going on.
Weight loss is a side effect. That's like, or not weight loss, I'm sorry. Weight is a side effect is what I want to make a t-shirt that says weight is a side effect. Because everybody tends to think of weight, you know, this extra weight is making me unhealthy, or this weight is, this weight loss is making me healthy. And usually I honestly can't think of a time that the actual presence of body fat on your body makes a lick of difference to your body's function. It's almost always the result of some other change going on in your body.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's something else is going on. And, you know, there are, and that's why it's also important not to judge people for what they look like, because you know what? The person that you're making fun of for being quote unquote fat, they could, you know, have a serious condition that they gained all of that in like 2 weeks, and you're 2 or 3 weeks because they have an adrenal problem, like Cushing's disease is like that. Yes. You can gain that. You literally can gain that. I know someone personally, right now, one of my friends, and she gained 60 pounds in like a month with this. She had a tumor and then she had Cushing's disease. She's one of my friends, TTAP friends. And she did, I mean, nothing different.
Right.
And if you imagine you being in public and someone being like, you should really work out, you know, wow, you're so lazy. And she used to be, you know, much smaller than that. And it's not, it is literally her body did that. And it's not, you know, and she wasn't lazy. She didn't eat too much ice cream. It was not any of that. It was her body was sending a message. And it's just, we judge people so severely based on what they look like. And I will be honest, I am guilty. I have done this and I'm trying to get better. And I know I have gotten better about it in the last couple of years, but a lot of the nutrition people tend to be super judgy about that. And it's wrong because you don't know someone's health status by looking at them. You just don't.
Right.
At all.
And that's part of the pressure, I think, for all of us to want to be smaller, no matter what size we're at. It's always this pressure of, well, you know, if you were really a better person, you'd be smaller because you'd have more discipline and you'd have more stamina in the gym or whatever. And it's just ridiculous. And so to try to release that out of your mind, like the other day, whenever my clothes, even my current clothes that I bought to fit me now, were fitting a little tight because of my different hormone fluctuations that are going on and all this stuff. And I was tempted to feel really embarrassed. I was on my way out the door to go visiting some people. And I was tempted to be like, what are they going to think of me? What are they going to think? You know, because they know that I care about health and that, you know, being as healthy and evidence-based as possible is one of my interests in life. Mm-hmm. And are they going to think I'm a hypocrite? Like, are they going to see how tight these clothes are on me? Are they going to talk about me behind my back? And you have to just let that go because it is not, you know, like we said in the Christianization of diet culture episode, there are ways you can sin with your food, but your body gaining weight is almost always not one of them.
Yes.
Yes, sure. If you are a biblical definition glutton, then maybe your weight gain would be a reflection of that. And that's what, in our culture, we look at anyone who has any extra weight as a glutton.
Anybody.
And
it's not the case. It's oftentimes not. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, people think, oh, well, if I was only smaller, you know, I'd be happier. Well, I can tell you, I was much, much smaller than I am right now. Like much, much smaller, like many pounds smaller than I am now. And I was a miserable, sad person, like really sad. And just, you know, and I remember being concerned constantly what I was looking like. If I looked at myself in the mirror before I went to a party and I didn't like how my stomach looked, I would be completely self-conscious the entire evening and just be like, you're ugly, you're fat, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I was, so also on this, subject about like weight loss and stuff. I watched recently, I don't know if you guys remember Shawn Johnson from the Olympics, those years that she did the Olympics, she did a video on YouTube and it's called, from 110 pounds to pregnant and postpartum, my body image journey. That video is so good. I highly go watch every minute of the 20 some minutes. And she's talking about how when she was competing as a gymnast, she was in the gym, you know, 8 hours a day. And she was eating, at one point she said she was eating 700 calories.
Oh my gosh.
This is years and years and years. She was eating 700 calories of, like, in order to do her, like, to, you know, make sure that she was the right weight and all this stuff. And then she also shared, it's very personal on there, she shared that she was on all kinds of different drugs to help her that wouldn't get picked up by the Olympic committee, but that she could use to help her drop even more weight.
Wow.
And it was just, that's just was, you know, what's behind, you know, herself and all these Olympics where you're like, wow, she looks great. And she looks so confident. She was really struggling. And she shares all of that in this video. And it's just really encouraging when you can hear someone else. And she talks about how when she had a baby, she was felt so confident during her pregnancy. She'd done a lot of work with her nutritionist and her therapist. She had done so much work during her pregnancy because she went from being, you know, like absolutely terrified to eat more than a meal or two a day. And she had to gain weight, you know, after she finished her career, she had to gain some weight to make her body feel safe. And then she, you know, when she became pregnant, her first worry was that she was not going to eat enough for her baby. And the therapist was like, look at how far you've come. You've gone from being too scared to eat two meals a day to now you're like, I'm scared that I won't be eating enough for my baby. And she's like, we can do that. It's okay. You got this, you know, and so she was, it was just a great from a public figure talking about this stuff that we're talking about. So highly recommend you check that out.
I will link to
that. It was just encouraging. It was just like, and you know, she shared that she felt like after she had her daughter, her body had done something that was more, had more of a purpose and more of a meaning than any of her other things that she did in her career, having her daughter. Which was just so sweet. Like she was saying that her body, you know, what it looked like had nothing to do with her birthing and growing and caring for this baby that she loves. And it just made her realize, wow, that really doesn't matter. Like I've been, you know, at the lowest, most fittest weight and I was miserable. You know, having purpose, like knowing the purpose, like, you know, where your identity is, what your purpose is, having that clearly set in your mind. That's what she kept coming back to. I felt like I didn't have a purpose. I believe she is a Christian as well. She didn't really share that in the video, but it was kind of implied that she found a lot of that after she had had her daughter as well. And that's kind of was my experience as well. Having my children was very extremely healing. Having my daughter was really helped me go, oh, okay, this is not as important as I thought it was, exactly what my body looks like, it being perfect. But anyway, that's a long ramble, but very worth watching.
No, it's good.
She's very well said, and just really sweet too. Because she talks about as well that she had a miscarriage where she had a miscarriage and she felt extremely guilty because she thought, did I have this miscarriage because I did all of that? And I took these drugs and I deprived myself and like, is it because of that? And she, you know, the doctor was like, no, it was something else. It's not because you did that. And then she, you know, got pregnant with this daughter that she now has shortly after that. But she just talks about a lot of this stuff about, you know, your body changing and then you being at a certain weight and it changing and you being okay with it and kind of how she arrived at that.
That's awesome. I'll definitely link to that.
Because it is. Because I know that the pull is extremely strong. Like you know, there's all kinds of things you can trick your body into doing all kinds of things. You can get it to lose weight and you can get it to put on more muscle and you can get it to do this and do that and whatnot. And you know, even I'll say too, this is one other last kind of thought on this too, is that in the fitness world, again, it's all what you look like, you know, are you like shredded and ripped and have, you know, perfect deltoids and whatever. And, I will say I've worked with ladies who like in person, and, you know, they'll tell me, oh, well, you know, I have this muffin top or whatever. And they're being consistent with their workouts and they're really putting in the time because they love how it makes them feel. And I'll, you know, palpate their bellies because they want me to check for diastasis or whatever. And maybe they don't have diastasis, but I have palpated some ladies and they are strong. Like you look at them and you're looking at them standing there and you're like, you look, you know, like an average person. You don't look like you have a six pack under there, but then you get in there and you palpate and you're like, good grief, this woman could, you know, like someone could punch her and she probably wouldn't even feel it. Like,
right.
Form and function. For yeah. example, people think, oh, this person with the six pack, you know, oh my gosh, they must not have any pelvic floor problems. Newsflash, they can. That's what I'm learning right now, as well as I'm studying more pelvic floor stuff. But the form, you know, what someone looks like is not always what the function, you know, or how their body is able to function. Because like I said, you can have someone with a six pack and they still have pelvic floor problems. You can have someone who looks just normal. She looks like she's a normal, you know, normal person. Her belly is not perfectly flat. And underneath there, she's really strong and functionally sound. And that is honestly, because you can have some of these people who maybe they have a flat stomach, but it's because they literally have no belly fat there. And then they don't really have any muscle tone. So there's just literally nothing there, you know, and then they could have pelvic floor problems and prolapse and all of this stuff, but they have a flat stomach, a flat stomach, you know, and it's just, again, it's us getting obsessed with the aesthetics and not focusing on the fundamentals, which are support your body. Do the things like that's what with my nutrition stuff, I don't focus on weight loss for people. I focus on supporting your body, whatever it needs to be supported, whether it's a thyroid or adrenals, or we need to work on your digestion, or you want some stuff to help balance your hormones. That's what we focus on. We don't focus on, okay, how many pounds do you want to lose? No, that often happens by accident when people start chilling out, but it doesn't sometimes. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And like we said, you have to be, are you okay with that? Are you okay with just being healthy instead of like hoping that you're going to get to that perfect mark? Are you okay with, and it's just funny for me to say this, but are you okay with just being healthy? You know, like, are you okay with that? Like, really? So I just, it's just the fitness and nutrition world is so caught up in what you look like. And at the end of the day is not like what you look like does not equal your health and it does not equal your functionality. Like I said, there's ladies who, you know, they don't have the perfect flat stomach that everybody talks about. And also, like we talked about in one of our episodes earlier, women's stomachs are really actually not supposed to be like perfectly flat because we have organs there that have babies. So, you know, anyway, it's just,
we say, as I lovingly squish my roll around my stomach. Yeah. But I understand. I don't think that it's a black and white answer. Cause I think that some people, I don't think that you should be forbidden from weight loss efforts. If you're interested in, you know, intuitive eating and all that, I just think that there are so many times where it's probably not the wise choice. And where it would actually do more detriment to your health to try to intentionally lose weight. But, you know, maybe if you've never had any food issues in your life, maybe if you are not, you don't have any kids right now, you're not planning on having any kids, you're an extremely low stress situation. I mean, maybe something like that, like changing some of your food habits or changing some of your exercise habits, maybe it would work for you. But most of the time when I have seen people who lose weight spontaneously, not through anything extreme, it's just from supporting their body. Like you said, supporting their body could mean sleeping better.
Yes.
Could mean meditation to relax their body, to let their body know that they're safe. It could mean eating more. If they were under eating, sometimes people who eat more, that's what has happened to some people. Whenever they eat more, their body feels like, oh wow, we're supported. We can work with this. And then they let go of 10 pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't have the answers for if somebody was like, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds. How should I do it?
Right.
That's so much more under the surface. Like, how's your mental state?
Yeah.
Why
is it worth your mental health?
Right. Why do you really want to do this? Do you think it's going to make you happy? Like, is it going to make you healthier? What could you be focusing on more maybe right now? Like at the moment for me, even though sure, it would be nice to like wave a magic wand and I'm back into all my old clothes, but it's just not, I don't feel like it's the time of life for me right now. And I'm just going to try to be content and be really gentle with my exercises and eat normally and try not to worry about it and just see what happens, you know?
Yeah. And Yeah, exactly. And I think that people tend to think that weight loss equals like extreme, like you have to do extreme things. And that's not, like we said, it's not a given that you will lose weight doing X, Y, Z, but it's always a good idea in general to support your body. And would you support your body if you knew you weren't going to lose weight?
Right. Would you make any of these lifestyle changes? Would you start taking the vitamins you need? Would you start sleeping better? Would you do meditation? Would you do any of this if you knew you weren't going to gain a pound, lose a pound? For me, I've come to the answer of yes. For me, I'm doing all this. I'm not losing any weight right now. And I'm still continuing to do all this stuff because it makes me feel so good.
Exactly. See, it's the motivation behind it. And that honestly, you know, I find that the people that aren't just so hung up on the weight loss, like as their main goal in life, they're happier, they're less stressed, they're, you know, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you have anything else on this?
No, we just don't have all the answers, but it's helpful to talk about and it's helpful to remind myself. And I hope it's helpful to some of you guys out there.
Yes. I think this was great because I feel like we needed to clarify too, because I'm sure that people are wondering what we think about this, because like I said, there's many different camps, even within the intuitive eating community. And we're here to say we don't have the answers, but we hope that you liked this little covering of this, because it's something we've been thinking about too. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, y'all. And we'll be back next week with a new episode. So thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Content, check us out on Instagram. We're at instagram.com/dietdetox. We'll see you next time.